Hello, this is Robert Smigel with Europe's podcast, where we talk to the entrepreneurs who are making it happen here in the UK. Now, get ready for an inspiring conversation with Louise Houghton. Louise is a British broadcaster based between Los Angeles and London. She works internationally across film, television, and digital media, and is a sought-after MC and MC for live events ranging from award shows and gala dinners to press conferences and global launches, some with audiences reaching up to 10 million at a time. Wow. She's best known for her 8 years hosting DWTV's daily lifestyle magazine show, Euromax, and can now regularly be seen in the US hosting America's Next Investment on CNBC. As a voiceover artist, too, she has worked for major brands and networks, such as Universal, Netflix, and ESPN. Passionate about sustainability, Louise created the podcast Be Curious, which spotlights companies making a positive impact in the world. With over 20 years' experience on the stage and screen, in her spare time, Louise also now helps professionals shine in their own spotlight through her coaching program, The 4 Ps of Public Speaking. Louise, thank you for coming on the show and taking your time to tell your entrepreneurial journey with all our listeners.
You're so welcome. Thank you for such a kind introduction.
Yeah, there's a
It's quite
lot.
long.
It's amazing. Wow, it's great.
It's so
Okay.
strange for me to be on this side. Normally I'm the one doing the interview and the questions, so it's going to be interesting.
Officially on the other side of the microphone. Okay, we've learned a little bit about you. Is there anything that's missing that we didn't cover in my bio of you? Anything? You're in Kent. I know that's just outside of London, I guess. But tell us a little bit more about your background.
Well, I suppose you missed out on my personal stuff, which is okay. I'm happy to focus on the work. Yes, our family are down here in Kent. I grew up down here, so I've been between London and Kent and then Los Angeles as well for the last 9 years, and was in Germany, Berlin before that, so traveled around a fair amount.
Okay, great. So let's talk a bit about broadcasting. How did you get in that business? It's a really unique business. You kind of got to have a natural ability for it, I would imagine. It's not something that everyone gets into. Was it journalism? Was it just the love of being on stage? Tell us.
I think as a child, I loved writing stories and telling stories. But I actually wanted to be an actress. That was my way in, as I wanted to be on stage and be somebody else telling those kind of stories through the means of another character. But I ended up finishing university, going to London and working for a production company that specialized in extreme sports. And I thought, I want to do that. I want to be the presenter. And be front of camera. And so I ended up managing to host the European Drag Racing Championships, which went out on Channel 5 and Sky Sports, and kind of kickstarted my career as a presenter. And from then ended up going to Germany to work for DWTV. I trained more as a journalist and got more into the kind of broadcasting journalistic side of my work.
Okay. Have you been on the employee side and going out on your own? Did you take anything that you learned from working for other people, or whether they're in a working situation and going out on your own? Did you have anything that you kind of skills or the way you manage yourself, things like that?
I think definitely when you're working for a production company, you get to see the other side of the camera, which I think even, as an actress, it's really valuable to actually understand what's happening, because there's so much going on behind the scenes that nobody ever knows about. But there's hundreds of people involved, and sometimes you're the only face of the event or the production. And so being on the other side and understanding how it all comes together, I think, can help you feel more of a team player when you are front of camera, so you can understand what's going on, what's required at every point in time, and you just got a bit of better picture of how it all comes together.
Okay, let's talk a little bit. Obviously, you have your own business and so forth. How do you make money? Do you have an agent? What's that look like as far as billing? Like, you bill hourly? What's that look like financially? How do you make money?
It can depend between television, broadcasting, and then obviously the coaching. But yes, I have agents and managers in different countries, and the money will go to them, that they'll be out on the lookout for jobs. But sometimes requests come directly to me, or they'll come through events that I've previously done. And so then I'll do a direct booking, which is a day rate generally. Sometimes it could be a half day rate. I think when we were in more virtual world during the pandemic, we did a bit more half day rates, but generally it's always a day rate that I have. And then that can depend on whether it's an event or whether it's like a digital piece of content. So the rates will change depending on what the actual job is.
Okay. Now, most people aren't in broadcasting or showbiz or anything like that. So, give me a piece of knowledge about the industry that you're in that the common person may not know about that might benefit our listeners. It seems all glamorous, but it's a lot of work, isn't it? I mean,
It
it's
is a
behind
lot
the
of work,
scenes,
and there's like,
behind the scenes.
yeah, behind the scenes, as I said, there's so much going on, and I think that's what people don't really realize is all of the work that goes into it. You know, if you're doing an event, you might walk in the day before and it's just be an empty shell, and somehow within, you know, less than 48 hours, the whole thing comes together, and there's sets being built, there's chairs there, there's equipment come in, there's mics, there's lights, and there's just so much that goes on behind the scenes. But in terms of other things, I'd just say authenticity, I think, is always one thing that kind of is really important for people to know about the industry. I think when you're wanting to do well, it's good to be humble and to be genuine and to be kind. But that applies across the board in whatever you're doing, I think.
Yeah. What are you most proud about in the work that you do? What really kind of gives you the energy and the initiative to keep moving forward in the industry? Because I imagine it must be pretty tough, right? But to be in very competitive, but what are you most proud about when you do this work?
If you're talking about specific jobs that I'm proud of, there's a couple that stand out, you know, from interviewing Sylvester Stallone, for example, to announcing all of the next class of astronauts that are going to be part of the European Space Agency, to, you know, doing an event. We just did a car launch for Geely last week, and we had, you know, 10 million people watching, which was quite an amazing achievement. So there's several kind of little highlights like that along the way, but I really am proud when I see people that I'm coaching go out there and excel at what they're doing too, because I just think that I'm able to kind of pass something on and have an impact with my work. And that's what makes me feel proud, is when the work that I'm doing has a positive impact in the world, whether that's working for a brand that you know, and they're doing well, or whether that's seeing somebody else shine on stage. That's what makes me happy.
Great. Okay, I want you to imagine you're talking to someone who wants to get into your profession and do broadcasting in any way, shape, or fashion, or show business or anything like that. What would you tell them? What were some of the advice that you would give this person?
In this day and age, things have changed a lot since I got into the industry. I think social media has such a huge impact on who ends up on screen nowadays. You know, having a profile can be really important, but I think having a niche can be really important too. Like, what are you passionate about? And again, I think that comes back to authenticity. What is it that you love in the world, and how can you use the skills of public speaking or broadcasting to actually share what you're passionate about? Whether that's sustainability, like I did with my podcast, it's like I'm really passionate about this. I want to use that means and to tell these stories. Or whether that's, you know, fashion or beauty. There's so many people excelling well on YouTube and having their own YouTube channels because they're really passionate about those things that they're talking about. So, getting really clear on what kind of area you want to work in is probably the number one thing I would say to everybody wanting to get into the industry.
Okay, in your career, you've done a lot. And obviously, we read out your bio. What are your next biggest moves and what are your goals beyond? I guess you're going to LA a lot, obviously, and you're doing different things, but what is your kind of, I guess, wish list of things that you'd like to do beyond what you're doing now as far, but in the industry?
Oh, you know what? There's always like another step on the ladder, isn't there? Like, for any
Yeah.
creatives, like you get out there and you want to go another one and you see the next one. I mean, you could look at shows here in the UK, BBC, you know, Strictly Come Dancing, for example, which in America is known as Dancing with the Stars.
Oh,
The
yeah.
two main hosts have just lost, not lost, sorry, the two main hosts have just left the show. And so, you know, doing something like that makes you think, you're like, I could do that. I could do a multi-camera studio. I could do, you know, that could be an amazing career goal. So definitely there's sort of higher hopes and bigger dreams for actual presenting work myself. But I'd love to see shine in your spotlight and the 4 P's of public speaking do well, go out and do workshops for companies, just expand that business a lot and be able to help people with those skills that I think so many people, certainly in this country, are lacking. But I have so many ideas of my own all the time for actual TV shows, or I wrote a film during the pandemic. So some of my ideas coming into fruition would be a long-term goal as well.
Okay. Now, broadcasting, obviously, we've been talking about that in your profession. It looks like a glamorous, great industry, but it does have its challenges like any other industry we can get into. I want you to tell me some challenges that you've had and how you overcame them, and whether it could be dealing with production people, whatever that looks like. What are some of the challenges and how did you overcome those challenges? And what would you recommend, I guess, to someone who did go through this scenario, what would you recommend? What are some of the things that you learned along the way to overcome?
I think you have to be quite adaptable in this industry. You go into something and you might be told a certain brief, and then you go in and it's all changed. So there's certainly been challenges along the way where things get changed at the last minute and you have to think on your feet. You have to be spontaneous. You have to ad lib. I remember doing an event one time for the European Space Agency. We were doing a satellite launch event, a big PR event for them, and I was about to do a panel discussion with 10 people on stage. And because I was on stage for 3 hours, there was somebody standing on the sideline who was meant to be handing me my cue cards and switching them over. And I was reading out the Twitter board at the time, and now, like, just as a distraction. So the live feed was on the Twitter board. They couldn't see me. It was only obviously the people in the room that could see that this lady was meant to be handing me my next set of cue cards. And she was so engrossed with the Twitter war, which was a compliment to me, but she wasn't handing me my cue cards. And so I was trying desperately to get her attention. And finally, when I did, after reading about 10 tweets out, she handed me all of them and I gave all of my other ones back. And what I should have done is kept the top one because it had all the names of the next panel discussion on it that I was about to announce. And so I'm there, thinking on my feet, thinking, okay, well, at the end, I thank them all. So let me go to the end of the panel to try and, and then the first guy's name, I just couldn't do it. So I went from the end to the front as I introduced them. And then the guy next to me, because he was standing next to me, I said, and as you're next to me, the microphone's here, why don't you introduce yourself and get the ball rolling? Because I didn't know who that person was. So you've got to sort of think on your feet a lot. And I'd say, that was one particular challenge that I can highlight. But working internationally, I think you get cultural challenges. And I've certainly learned to adapt working with Spaniards to working with Germans, for example. Germans are very punctual and on time and organized, and Spaniards can be a bit manana,
Yeah.
manana. So you have to just learn who you're working with. And just so I'd say you're kind of being flexible and adaptable to the environment that you're in and the people that you're working with is really the key to success and doing well and not getting stressed
Yeah.
out. And
There's a lot of people that aren't into broadcasting, obviously, like you, but they want to kind of bridge that gap and maybe work their social media a bit more, just maybe do a presentation. Maybe they're a CEO and they're just fear of talking on a stage, whatever that looks like, or meetings and carrying on a presentation. I want you to give us some advice. You've done it all. On public speaking, how do you prepare for a show, whether it be emceeing, interview, or other? Give us some methodology, tricks, and tips. I really want to dive into your craft without getting too much into your details, but some of the things that maybe you go through before you go to the stage, or obviously you prepare well. That might be one thing that is, but how do you overcome that? Going from behind the stage to the stage, and do you turn into a different person? Do you have like some people say, I become a different person. What's that look like for you? And so give us some tricks and tips that you use that others might have insight and would help them.
Of course. Well, the course that I created called the 4 P's of public speaking, obviously, it's a mnemonic framework. And the first P is personality. So that's really looking at you as a person and why you're nervous. Within that sort of module, we really break down where the nerves are coming from, and helping to understand them actually helps them to dissipate. So one exercise that I'll ask people to do is to write down a list of everything that they're nervous about, and then next to it, write a list of all the reasons why you are actually meant to be here doing this presentation. And what you tend to see is that the list of reasons why they should be doing this presentation is so much stronger than the list of reasons why they're nervous, that it actually helps to kind of shift that perspective into, oh, I'm here to make an impact and I'm here to say something that means something, whether that's a speech, a presentation, a pitch. And that kind of helps them to feel more confident going on stage. So it's just a very simple kind of early on exercise that I'll do. But yes, you mentioned preparation. That's another P. That's the third P. The second one being presentation, the actual pitch itself, writing it, making sure it's concise. But yes, when we get to preparation, there are some things I can share there, and that's, repetition. I think, Benjamin Franklin said, isn't it? It's by failing to prepare, you are
Preparing for
preparing
failure.
to. And I think that that's so true. The time you put into something actually helps calm the nerves as well, because the more confident you are with what it is that you're saying, then the more calm and confident you're going to be on stage. And so I have some tips and things like that for actually the performance, which is the last P when you're going up there. I have meditations that I do for people to help calm their nerves, which can help with visualizations. I'm a Reiki master too, so that sort of ties in quite well, those two skills, into my public speaking course. But yeah, if you're going on stage, in your side stage, and you're really nervous, some quick tips I could give would be close your eyes. Closing your eyes actually lowers your heart rate, and so helps you to focus. You could do some box breathing, so breathing in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four, preferably with your eyes closed if you can too. Those are some simple tips. Speak positively to yourself. Like, your body is listening. And if you're telling yourself, oh my God, I'm nervous, I'm nervous, I'm nervous, that's not actually helping at all. But if you can say, I am going to actually do a great job here, I'm going to share my message, whatever it is that you're talking about, obviously I'll tailor that with the people that I'm coaching. But that really helps as well for people going out on stage. Brené Brown actually says that the feeling of anxiety and the feeling of excitement feel the same in the body. So when you're noticing that unfamiliar feeling, it's about how can we reframe that into something that's more positive, so that you can go out there, smile, because smiling actually changes everything too and helps you give a great presentation. So some very quick little tidbits of advice there, and obviously share more when working with people.
We all work in competitive industries. Obviously, yours is very competitive. How do you define or deal with fear and doubt? Like, how do you overcome that when you're obviously competing, for different projects and things like that? What's your self-talk when either you don't get something, things aren't going right? How do you overcome that doubt and move on and keep a positive perspective on things?
In my industry, there's always rejection. You've had it from a very young age. You didn't get this role and this thing you wanted to do, or I think you learn to get used to that and not take it personally, because often it isn't personal. It's, oh, she's too tall and the CEO is really short, or something like that. And not that it makes any difference to me, but for some people it does. Or she's not got dark hair or whatever. Sometimes it's not a reflection on your ability. So yes, there's obviously disappointments along the way, and doubts, and I think imposter syndrome is real with everybody. I talk about it a lot in an article I just wrote for Finito magazine, actually, on public speaking and the reasons why people get nervous. But I think self-talk is really important for me. Meditating every day, Abraham Hicks, the law of attraction, just talking positively, understanding, okay, well, this isn't for me, then something else is going to come along. And just being able to kind of surrender and go with the flow like that is challenging and it's hard, but I think it's the methodology that I use in my personal life to deal with those kind of highs and lows all the time.
It's funny because I've had situations where I had a particular project working on and then I lost it and was like gone. And I was like, oh my God, it was such a great gig and stuff. And felt really bad. And for some reason, within a week or two later, I got a fantastic, even a better project, to work on. So I think sometimes there's a reason why we lose something, something better is coming along.
But we don't always sort of see that at the time, and you might have spent those
No,
2 weeks there
no.
like really down and depressed, and then that
Yeah,
changes
yeah.
your energy. It's really tough.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you want to stay in your industry? Do you want to go into different fields? You've obviously got your company, you're starting the 4 Ps, public speaking, you got your podcast. Where do you want to focus your energy now in broadcasting or your personal brand? What are some things that you're going to be particularly focused on in the next 5 years?
Well, I'd love to see the 4 Ps of public speaking expanding and the Shining Spotlight course. I've also been in de developing a book so that I can tie all that together into a book for people who don't want to actually take the course but want to read it. So that's in development. I mentioned before that I have a lot of my own ideas, so I have my own production company too, and I'd love to see some of those ideas kind of coming into fruition. A lot of them are based on sustainability because that's a passion of mine with the podcast that I do. And so if I can have some of my own ideas being put out there, that would feel really good to me.
Okay, we want to talk a little bit more about your personal habits, your routines, how you stay healthy, things like that. What routines do you have in place, and how do you stay healthy? Obviously, you've got these high pressure gigs, 10 million people watching, CNBC, all these things, you can't be going there sick, obviously, or you can't be unhealthy. Or what's your routine that focuses on your health so you know that you're at the top of your game and you're not going to show up somewhere, under the weather, so to speak. What are the things that you have in place that are non-negotiables, whether it be exercise, eating right, mental, physical? Give us
All
some stuff that you work on that are non-negotiables that Louise does to maintain her health and her psychologically staying
They're
balanced.
all non-negotiables for me. But I laugh because I did a voiceover job for Pfizer and I did that with COVID. So it wasn't for the COVID vaccine, the
Yeah.
voiceover was for another vaccine, but I was really quite sick, and the job was booked, and I was doing anything and everything that I could to make my voice sound clear and clean. Anti-inflammatory diet and like all these like nasal sprays, and my goodness, it's quite funny. I think I actually did a Instagram post story on how to do a voiceover job with COVID. But yes, in general, my goodness, I wake up every morning. I'll always meditate, do like some affirmations. It can switch a little bit from my Reiki practice to Abraham Hicks to affirmations. But generally, there's always meditation in there. And yes, what else? Exercise, definitely very important. I like to try and keep strong.
You do that
So
twice a week, 3 times a week. What's your exercise schedule like?
yeah, I would say 3 times a week.
Very good.
And then I'll make sure I'm walking on those other days to try and at least keep the body moving. I think it's really important to get outside in the fresh air, even in the UK when it's raining, and just move the body a little bit. So yeah, definitely a few times a week. And especially because sometimes when I'm traveling, you don't always have the time or the access to things. I try and make sure that when I'm home on a more daily basis, that I make sure I get that in as a priority.
Okay.
So I can steal 10 minutes in a hotel gym or something, if nothing
Yeah.
else, because I think that's really important to help the nerves too, actually, is to get the heart racing for a cardio reason, and so that when you go on stage, it's actually already been racing that day for the right reason, so it helps
Yeah.
it a little calmer.
Does your heart race before you hit the stage?
Yes, but not in the way that it does when I'm on the treadmill.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about how you educate yourself. Books you read, shows you watch, documentaries, biographies, podcasts that you listen to, any AI tools or anything like that. Give us your education menu and how you stay educated and some of the authors you follow or people that you follow, inspiration or motivation, or even some mentors that you've had along the way.
I'm reading Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself at the moment by Joe Dispenza. I think his meditations are great, and the book is really interesting, actually. So I'm finding that very helpful. I do a lot of Abraham Hicks, so listening to those, they're more YouTube, but they're kind of like little podcasts. But I do listen to those probably at least 3 or 4 times a week in the morning. Mel Robbins, I'll listen to mindset work like that. Brené Brown, I mentioned before. Dare to Lead is a great book. Very vulnerable and courageous, and works well for communication and how to understand. And she also has another one, Atlas of the Heart, which I think is really good to understand your feelings and emotions. So yeah, in terms of tools, I love ChatGPT. There's some great AI tools out there, and I know there's been a lot of resistance from people in the industry, but I think if we can use them to our benefit, then there's not such a bad thing about them. Well, I'm going to stop talking about that one. It can be challenging because it is really hard for writers, and I know with the writer's strike that we had, there was a lot of fear there, and I completely understand that. I think if I'm putting in, a letter, or I'm putting in something and I want it to just check over, or I want to just word a sentence slightly differently, it can be really helpful for me to just kind of find a different title for an article because I can't quite find it like that. So I think when we can use the skill, the tools to our advantage to kind of brainstorm stuff, it's been helpful for me.
Okay. Obviously, you've had mentors in the past or people you've looked up to and things like that. Has anyone ever given you any advice that you may have received that you can pass on to entrepreneurs or people in broadcasting in Europe?
Yeah, I think authenticity, smiling, and being kind, honestly, as well. I think kindness goes a long way, and I think sometimes talent can get a reputation of being a diva or something like that. And I think it's always, reputation always precedes you. And if you've got a good reputation to work with, and you're easy to work with, you're adaptable, flexible, can take direction well, all those things can only be beneficial. So I would say, yeah, be authentic and be kind to people. And I think that's sort of like a natural thing. If you're kind to people you walk past on the street, then you're going to be kind to people that you work with.
Okay, let's talk about the four P's of public speaking and how entrepreneurs could benefit from taking these courses and these coaching programs that you have. I think there's a lot of people out there that could really learn from this and kind of give us the shell of it. Give us the basics of it. Don't get into too much details, but maybe some of the things that what they would get and what they would learn and what they would walk away with. When they're taking these courses.
Sure, I went over the four P's earlier. We have four modules. So if you're doing the course, for example, that we're talking about here, then there's a four-part course focusing on a separate P. So personality, presentation, preparation, and then performance. And then each one will do different exercises, we'll brainstorm, we'll look at any text that they're actually working on themselves. And so at the end, they'll feel a bit more confident to stand up in front of the class, which is no more than 10 people, and do a little presentation of what it is that we've been working on over the four modules. If I'm doing one-on-ones, then that can be a lot more tailored to individual pieces that they're working on, be that a speech or a pitch or presentation, or a keynote. So it can depend, if we're doing individuals, what they want to work on themselves and what they want to come away with. And I'll always ask those questions ahead of a session. But in terms of the actual four-part course that I offer, That's what we'll cover in each one of them. And there's a bit more of a breakdown on my website as well, in which we cover on it. But I think I went over a little bit of them earlier and kind of mentioned some of the exercises that we'll start to do.
Good. Now, are these time-wise, are they usually over a period of a few months, or how is it scalable? Can they take courses that are like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? What's that look like?
The course that I run is a four-part course, so it's once a week for 4 weeks.
Okay.
And the next one is starting in the new year. So that runs on a Tuesday. I have it set for a Tuesday at 9 a.m. PST. So that will be 5 p.m. UK time. So it works for sort of both continents. And yes, and it will be an hour course with up to 10 people, no more than 10 people virtually. And that's run with a similar format to if I'm doing a workshop, like a one-day workshop, going into a company doing a one-day workshop or maybe a half-day workshop, whatever I'm hired to do. And that kind of will follow a similar format, but just obviously adapted for shorter space of time or for the amount of people that we've got in that particular workshop.
Okay, good.
And they'll
Now,
get all the course notes at the end as well, so they can rewatch everything that we're doing and all of the presentation side of it that we've got. And I offer a premium, so with sorry to but with my package, the four-part course, I offer a premium package where they'll get one individual session alongside the four-part course as well.
I mean, the range is probably wide, but who or what kind of person would benefit from this? Would it be CEOs? Would people in broadcasting? Would it be people that just want to improve their social media skills? Who would be a candidate for this type of program and courses?
Anybody and everybody in that sense. We do generally have more corporate people signing up for it, but there's no reason why somebody who's got to do Father of the Bride speech or something like that couldn't come along and take the course, because a lot of it's going to apply in the same way. But generally, yes, we've had CEOs in, entrepreneurs in, or people who are wanting to climb the ladder within their company and recognize that doing a good pitch and a good presentation is something that they need in order to be able to go to the next level within the business that they're working for. So it ranges definitely. And I think that's what's nice about it too, is that everybody's very humble. There's no sort of hierarchy of like where people are at, because everybody's there to learn a skill.
Right. I guess confidence building is a component of this. Is that right? For the actual.
Definitely.
Yeah.
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 I mean, confidence is so important when you're doing public speaking. And when you're feeling confident, then you're going to get your message across. But I think sometimes it's not about outwardly being confident, it's about inwardly being confident. And when you're authentic and you're actually passionate about what you're doing, that confidence shines through anyway.
Right. Okay, Louise, we're going to wrap things up here. Is there anything that we've left out? Anything you want to mention, talk about? We've covered your career. We've covered a lot of the how you educate yourself and how you learn and your routines and your
No.
challenges. Is there anything else that we
Yeah,
missed?
we didn't. Yeah, we didn't talk so much about personal life, which is great. But I think it's just important to mention like work-life balance, and
Yeah.
I would just say, you know, I see some CEOs getting up at 4 a.m. and it's so normal for them, and I don't know how they do it personally. I'm much more of a person who sort of switches off when they're off, you know, and I think for me that's really important to recharge and come back with full energy. But that's just my opinion. Everybody has a different way of working, but for me, having that work-life balance and time out to go hiking or go for a nice walk or see family and friends, that's definitely key to making me shine when I'm on the stage.
Yeah, I also too, you travel a lot. I travel as well. So what I'll usually do is I will find, if I'm in a different country, I will find places to go to or do a little bit of research while I'm working, say, what can I do on the weekends and things like that. And then
Yeah.
I'll do something like you said, go for a hike, go for a bike ride, or sometimes I just go scuba diving if I'm in a tropical place. So, okay, Louise, tell us how we can get hold of you. And is there anything you'd like to add before you leave us today?
I think we covered quite a lot. So, yeah, I'll just leave it with my website, louisehouson.com. I think the coaching course is on there /coaching. All of my reels or agents' contact details are on there too. So, it's got everything that somebody might need, and all my social media. So,
Perfect. Okay.
thank you so much.
Okay, we'll see you next time. Cheers.